Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Okay, let's find out, let's talk seriously, let's talk very seriously about the implications or the impact on South Africa due to the sanctions on Russia, and to discuss that and to offer some light, to shed some light on this is a futurist, economist, business trends analyst and partner at Flux Trends, Bronwyn Williams. Hi Bronwyn, how are you?
Hello, good evening. Thank you for inviting me.
Thank you so much. How is South Africa likely to be impacted?
Well, unfortunately, we do live in a globalized economy, and this is something that we have to understand, that as much as we have as many of our own fuel and energy crises here that are on our own heads, that are based essentially like own goals, like we know what's going on with load shedding this week, for example, we are also at the mercy of some of the whims that are going on in the larger global economy. And unfortunately, when it comes to prices of things like energy and other basic goods, so it's particularly, unfortunately, regressive issues that we're seeing right now. In other words, issues that are going to affect the prices of the basic elastic goods that we absolutely need. In other words, will affect lower-income households more than anyone else. The unfortunate thing is there's really this perfect storm going on at the moment to push prices of those basic critical goods up. So any conversation around what's happening with Ukraine and Russia right now needs to also be put into the broader context of the other increases in general prices that we have seen over the last few months, even excluding that crisis that's unfolding right now. We have to cast our minds back to what happened with COVID and the various different supply chain issues that still have not been fully resolved across the world, and also to the excess of liquidity that's coming into the whole global economy due to the COVID emergency relief, essentially sort of monetary supply increases that are really record-breaking. All of these factors are driving up prices. On the one hand, you've got increased demand due to increased liquidity that we're seeing in terms of the extra capital floating around, but you're also seeing reductions in supply of those critical goods. And unfortunately, when it comes to things like the price, although we have our own fuel manufacturers here, it's not enough to meet our total demand, and largely the fuel price is driven by global market forces. And any disturbances in those prices are going to impact supply and then also increase our prices over here. So unfortunately, the picture does look like prices are going to go up harder and faster than many, even economists, have really predicted. But when you start to look at the macro trends, it seems like this is the case of, almost inevitable at this point.
Yeah, Bronwyn, Brooke Spector here. As I understand it, now, break it down for me a bit, that all of the factors you've mentioned are important, but there's one that you more or less have skated over, and that's the impact of Forex calculations, yes, because oil is an internationally traded commodity and it's priced in dollars.
Yes, so the dollar pricing is definitely critical to this and the fact that it is all completely globalized. Unfortunately, energy itself is largely, a lot of the pricing in energy, whether you're talking about fuel or electricity, it is quite political. So whether you're talking domestic or international, unfortunately, South Africa is in the middle of both those circles. We have very high sort of fuel taxes on our fuel anyway. We also have most of our electricity being generated for a state-owned monopoly. So of course, those prices there are not entirely competitive. The same thing as you are alluding to in terms of the forex market and the way that energy is shipped and traded across the world is largely distorted. It's beholden to things like sanctions and trade laws and also set and fixed prices. But as domestic local South African consumers, your vote at the petrol pump with the rands that you spend on your energy are simply not really, it's not really operating in an entirely free market system there. So yes, they are big distortions facing those prices.
Is this going to ultimately generate much more of a push for renewables like solar or perhaps wind or thermal, geothermal? Will we see that in our lifetime generate enough of a push for that, for a significant change?
There's sort of two ways to unpack that question. One is, we'll see a push towards it. Yes, politically, there really is a push towards it, even as the world is experiencing this energy crisis, which is not just a local situation, it is a global one. I think most of the factors we've discussed have illustrated that. We also see politicians pushing very hard for net zero policy, even in the midst of this energy storm. But all that really means is that in the short term, in other words, for our listeners who are listening to this conversation right now, the push towards renewable energy is actually in the short term going to increase prices even further. Not because renewable energy is not something that's not worth investing in at all, but rather the transition is simply not going to take place fast enough to actually catch up the slack or to actually help the budgets of people who are struggling through the next 12 months, 24 months, even the next decade or so. I've had many of these conversations with both economists and ecologists and people playing in the energy space, and the green energy transition is going to take longer than perhaps it has been advertised to the electorate, and it has come at a huge cost. And in the long run, will be better for us, but in the short run, it's only adding to the price pain that I think consumers are going to be experiencing.
So the bottom line for your analysis is I should go buy a really good high-tech bicycle.
Yeah, or try to create your own electricity at home. If you are wealthy enough to have your own off-grid set up, by all means, go ahead and do that. If you're wealthy enough to purchase an electric car that you can use as your own energy backup during times of load shedding, and of course then sort of dodge some of the petrol price issues, by all means, go ahead and do that. But do understand that the electricity that is sort of, you know, pumping and fueling your electrical cars at the moment, if you're filling up in public spaces, isn't necessarily coming from renewable sources either. And it is going to be more expensive and really out of the budget of ordinary mass market consumers at this point in time. So we have a short-term problem we're going to have to work our way through before we can get to the sort of greener pastures of the more sustainable, important transition to a more fair and environmentally equitable economy in the future.
Bronwyn Williams, thank you so much. Bronwyn is a futurist, economist, business trends analyst and partner at Flux Trends.
Thank you, Bronwyn.